Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we talk about Fabianism. If you don't know what that is, it's going to be a fun little history segment. And then we dive into this question, is the left going too fast? And then I shift gears a little bit. We talk about the Mueller investigation. I know it's over, but John Durham is now saying he's going to have some indictments. And then we ask the question fairly and openly, are hospitals helping or hurting people? And which hospitals are? We dive into that just a little bit. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our program, you could do so by going to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Gary again for his support from DeKalb, Illinois. Very, very generous support of our program. I want to thank Donald from Fort Wayne, Alabama. Thank you. Vita from North Palm Beach, Florida. Thank you so much. James from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thank you for your support. Joyce from Eagle, Idaho, charliekirk.com/support. Do you like the research that we do? Do you like how we dive into these ideas and these issues? Will you all make it possible to allow us to pursue truth, to defend liberty, when you guys just go to charliekirk.com/support? Email me directly. I read all my emails. I don't respond to them all. freedom@charliekirk.com. I do respond to some of the more critical ones, though, if I feel like it's an unfair thing that you're saying. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, if you're a student, get involved today. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter. It's tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. Is the left going too fast? What is Fabianism? What is this idea of incrementalism? We look back into history, all the way back to Rome, to show how the left has been able to take over Western civilization, starting in the United Kingdom, then America, in this fact-filled historical observation analysis, only here on The Charlie Kirk Show. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Roman general Fabius Maximus was best known as being called the Delayer. In a famous battle, the Carthaginian army under Hannibal was fighting against Fabian. The Roman general Fabian had a different strategy than most Roman military tacticians. He had a strategy that would be best known as slow and steady wins the race. Delayer, if you will. His strategy sought gradual victory against any of the opponents that he would come against. And in this epic clash of Fabian versus Hannibal, he ended up winning through persistence, harassment, and wearing the enemy down by attrition rather than pitched and climactic battles. Roman general Fabius Maximus is not mentioned all the time. In fact, he's kind of gone into just historical obscurity in some ways. But in the early 1900s in the United Kingdom and Britain, in 1905, there was a group of socialist revolutionaries that decided to start a new society called the Fabian Society, named after Roman general Fabius Maximus for his slow and steady wins the race, delayer, gradual implementation, patient, persistent, wearing down of the enemy strategy. You see, these young socialists in 1905 realized that in order to take over Western civilization via the progressive movement or the socialist movement, it was not going to happen immediately. It was not going to happen in big, drawn-out conflicts. They were going to lose that way. Instead, they had to embody the spirit of Roman general Fabius Maximus against Hannibal and eventually wear down the Christian bedrock of Western society, wear down the conservative tradition, wear down the society. The young Fabians wrote an essay, a series of essays that everyone should read called the Fabian Essays. Now, the Fabians were arch rivals of Winston Churchill. And Churchill was able to stave off the socialists until the parliamentary elections of 1945. Parliament literally means the house of talking, the place where talking happens. Where even after World War II, in all of its glory, Winston Churchill was unsuccessful in keeping the majority government, and people wanted vast social programs. And the Fabians and the socialists were able to deliver it 40 years later. The Fabians wrote this: "For the right moment, you must wait, as Fabius did most patiently when warring against Hannibal. Though many censured his delays, but when the time comes, you must strike hard, as Fabius did, or your waiting will be in vain and fruitless." Incredibly, the logo of the Fabian Society was a tortoise, represented the group's focus for a slow transition to socialism, while its coat of arms, a wolf in sheep's clothing. It represented its preferred methodology for achieving its goal. The wolf in sheep's clothing symbolism was later abandoned, obviously, due to its negative connotations. Reading and studying how Britain has become a socialistic, authoritarian, and tyrannical state, going all the way back to the Fabian Society, is very instructive to how the American left has operated over the last 60 years. The American left embraced this strategy of Fabius Maximus versus Hannibal. We are going to wear you down. We're not going to overshow our hands. We're not going to flush out the enemy. We are going to be persistent, and we are going to harass you and wear you down. This is exactly how the left has taken over the country. A lot of conservatives ask all the time, "Charlie, how is it that they control the colleges, the high schools, athletics, sports, the corporations?" We as conservatives, we as constitutionalists, we as pro-American advocates, we are Hannibal. They are Fabius Maximus. And they embraced a slow and steady, persistent type strategy. But the question is this, and this is an open-ended question, though, is that if you were to take the Fabian model, and if I refer to Fabianism on this program, many of you will now know what I mean. Have they decided to strike too early? That's a question. Now, obviously, the United Kingdom is a completely different set of circumstances. But make no mistake, the Fabian Society is where many major leftists were birthed from. George Bernard Shaw, for example, wrote extensively on behalf of the Fabian Society. Many American leftists who study in Oxford or study in London, they're exposed to the type of methodology that the Fabian Society used. The American left that was really founded as the New Left in the post-civil rights regime era of Herbert Marcuse and Michel Foucault and Angela Davis and Bill Ayers and Bernardine Dorn, just to name a few of the kind of scholars. Noam Chomsky would be an example of a New Left activist who teaches at the University of Arizona. Are they at a moment where they think they have us and they can strike now? And the wolf in sheep's clothing, and they could take it off? Literally, that was the coat of arms for the young Fabians. Or are they at a place where they think they can strike, and in reality, Their perceptions are deceiving them. Connor, play that tape that you mentioned between Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon. So Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon were going back and forth with each other, where Chris Cuomo is saying, hey, are we going too fast? Are we implementing this at too high of a pace? And you can kind of see that this is the sort of debate that is happening privately that CNN decided to air publicly. The debate is, are we violating the Fabian principle of being persistent and wearing down the enemy? Do we really have them on the ropes, or does it just feel that way? Is Hannibal's forces really that weak, or are we just indulging in our own confirmation bias? Play that tape, Connor.
All of a sudden, we've discovered that shingles is a problem in our society.
I don't disagree.
And now we have to get it. Every year,
don't give ammunition to the haters. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yes. But listen, every year you get a flu shot. You don't say, well, I took the flu shot last year. Why do I need that flu shot again?
I'm with you. But this is a little different. You have the president saying, all right, here's when the boosters come. And now you got the head of the NIH and the head of the FDA saying, well, hold on, we're not sure we need the booster yet.
Yeah.
And that fuels resistance. I'm saying there's no need for that.
But it fuels resistance for people who are not being logical, people who are looking for an excuse not to do it, an excuse to criticize the administration.
Do you see that debate? That's the debate that's been happening between people on the right, and people on the left, and the revolutionary left. Is it time for us to use force? Do we have them on the ropes? And I will submit to you that the American left violated the Fabian principle of slow and steady wins the race. That when they kicked President Trump off Twitter a couple days off of January 6th, after January 6th, they all of a sudden moved far too fast, far too quickly. When they are mandating vaccines and masking children, I believe that the success of the left is all being put in jeopardy because Hannibal, us, actually is much stronger than they actually might think. All right, everybody, I got sent this incredible thing to our office, and you might say, oh, Charlie's going to talk about meat. Nope, 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 nope. It was bread. And now I'm gluten-free, celiac, not by choice. I don't know how you get celiac. You guys can send me your thoughts on how you think people get celiac. But I got this bread, and I was like, okay, here we go. And it was like it was a cube of bread, and it was so unbelievably delicious and full of fiber. In fact, I emailed Uprising Food. I'm like, you guys got to send me more of this stuff. They had chips. They had all of it. And here's the amazing thing. 6 grams of protein, 9 grams of fiber. So I try to get more protein in my diet. Only 2 net carbs per serving. I am a health nut, as many of you probably know. We speak out against all sorts of bad food habits. And I understand a lot of people want to try to make changes in their healthy habits. And we want to help you do that. So I could tell you right now, Uprising, I literally said to producer Andrew, as soon as I saw Uprising Food is continuing their partnership with us, even without it, I said, Connor, last week, I was like, where is the cube of food? Where is the cube of bread? And they're going to have to send us some more because it was all eaten magically. And honestly, I tell you, it's terrific. Okay, so here's how it works. Uprising's mission is to liberate all of us from a broken food system that's stealing our health. They have cracked the code on healthy bread. You simply can't find something this healthy that tastes this good, that's this fresh. So they send you this box, this cube of bread, and you cut it. It goes good with salads. It goes good with soups. And it has 6 grams of protein, 9 grams of fiber. And so Uprising has absolutely nailed the taste factor on both their sourdough-esque cubes and their crunch factor on their newly launched Freedom Chips. I'm not going to lie. Their Freedom Chips are epic. They go good with everything. And I know a lot of you guys aren't big into snacking. Maybe some of you are. I'm a snacker every so often because, you know, you're doing radio, doing all these things. You got to just kind of keep the juices flowing. And a couple of years ago, I realized that I should just buy stock in whoever makes Snickers because I was just eating nothing but Snickers. So I said, time out. No more Snickers. No more of that garbage. And honestly, it was great. You know, lost some weight, was able to build some muscle, whatever. But I could tell you that the Freedom Chips are just great and they're full of protein. And so here's the thing. Go to uprisingfood.com, use the code Kirk to get $10 off the starter bundle. It's like a mini trip to the grocery store and without all the unhealthy distractions. They send it to you. They ship directly to your door. It's uprisingfood.com. Use promo code Kirk. Get $10 off the order. I'm a convert. We're already a subscriber to this. It's really great food. And again, I encourage you guys just to try it out. You guys want to make good changes in your health habits, right? We know that the number one reason why people suffer death from Chinese coronavirus is obesity. We don't trivialize that. We're not making fun of people that have it. I know some people struggle with. So let's do some changes together. I'm making some changes. I love this bread. I love these snacks and these chips. In fact, I was banging on the table saying, where is the Uprising bread? Because I ate it so quickly. And as someone who does not eat gluten, it is amazing to see that we can do this. So go to uprisingfood.com, use promo code Kirk, get $10 off the starter bundle. And some of your thoughts on it. I think that you guys will be blessed by the health and the protein and the fiber. God bless. When you are trying to apply for a job, do you put where you go to college, where you worked previously, where you went to go to where you went to college is largely irrelevant. But North Texas companies are reviewing the new rules, and they say that if you say you're vaccinated, it could help you get a job. Last Thursday, obviously, Biden made the response, the announcement around vaccines or weekly testing. Babich and Associates is the oldest job recruitment and placement service in Texas. Quote, companies have been proactive about COVID for self-preservation purposes. But in most organizations, there's always going to be some people that will be anti-vaxxers. And those kind of people stick their heels in the ground and say, I'm not getting vaccinated. Look at the job market. It's tough enough, and companies are having trouble finding candidates, so they'll take them away any way they can. So they are recommending that you say on your job resume that you are vaccinated to go get a job. Is all of this happening too fast? Have they overplayed their hand? Has the current regime violated what has made the left so successful over the last 60 years, which is incremental change, piece by piece, which is first start with the civil rights regime, then get the Employment Prevention Agency, otherwise known as the Environmental Protection Agency, then put Earth Day in, then, of course, the Department of Education, then social welfare, destroy the black family, make everything about gay marriage in the 90s and early 2000s, infiltrate massive institutions, push an outright licentiousness agenda across the country. And then when you think you're winning as conservatives, you're actually losing. In the 1990s, it seems like, oh yeah, conservatives won the House back. We won the White House back in 2000. And what ended up happening? George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush did exactly what Democrats wanted them to do. They grew government. They expanded corporate power in the country. And like a tortoise, like Fabian v. Hannibal in the old Roman times, they waited their turn, waiting for the right time to strike. So if you read Roman military history, I'm going to read this quote again. Fabius waited patiently when warring against Hannibal. Though many censured his delays, when the time comes, you must strike hard, as Fabius did, or your waiting will be in vain and fruitless. They believe that the pandemic, the bioweapon from China, and George Floyd and all of it together, that this is their time to strike. That's why they don't care. They don't care about approval ratings. They don't care about backlash. They don't care about people calling them out on that stuff. They don't care. Where this just one video shows 8,000 people waiting to come into the United States illegally. 8,000 people. Where this idea of the citizen, which means co-ruler in ancient Greece, is deteriorating. It's slipping from our grasp.
You mentioned the Mission Bridge earlier last month. This is significantly worse. That Mission Bridge was just about 4,000. This is double that. And as you can see, Everybody's just kind of standing around in the heat. There's just a few porta potties. And what I'm being told is border agents on the ground are completely overwhelmed, completely overmanned. And they need a lot of help right now because that situation is getting worse literally by the hour with more migrants streaming in every single minute.
Is this the time that they think they can strike and they can wipe us out? Now, here's the thing. They only get one of these major advances. They are going all in or else they lose all political and social currency. But they believe, hey, we control the FBI, the CIA, Google, and Facebook. We control everything. Strike and eliminate them. Eliminate the other side. That's how they view it. Literally with the coat of arms of the wolf in sheep's clothing. And here's the hopeful message. If we can endure this final push of the blitzkrieg of the left, the counteroffensive that we will launch, they will not be able to sustain. You guys know that I want all of you to learn from great books. Thinker.org/Charlie is a place where you can consume big ideas in a short period of time. Key insights from Dangerous Ideas, a brief history of the censorship in the West, from the ancients to fake news, is our Thinker.org book of the week. Here's what you'll learn. You'll learn that censorship is a temptation as old as speech itself, and it has proven the preferred option over tolerance and open discussions throughout our history. Journalist and human rights lawyer Eric Berkovitz walks you through the tension between speech and suppression in Western history, highlighting events that have shaped the movement towards free speech and the temptations to curtail it. So you guys can listen to big ideas quickly and not be in violation of thought crimes and be stuffed down memory holes at thinker.org/Charlie. thinkr.org/Charlie. thinker.org/Charlie. Check it out right now. You guys are able to consume big ideas quickly. thinker.org/Charlie. Check it out.
John Durham has a heartbeat, everybody. It's not exactly what we'd want to see, but it seems like there's some momentum. John Durham expected to indict Clinton-linked attorney involved in Russia probe. This is Sussman may have lied to top FBI lawyer James Baker in a meeting on September 19, 2016. In that meeting, Sussman attempted to tie the Trump Organization to a Russian bank, Alpha Bank, saying that they were using a secret server to communicate. Michael Sussman. The FBI later dismissed those allegations, so did Mueller, and they were totally bogus. How did Sussman lie? Durham has discovered discrepancies between Sussman's congressional testimony and his September 2016 interview with Baker. During their discussion, Baker claims Sussman told him he wasn't working on the Alpha Bank project for any specific client. This directly contradicted his 2017 sworn testimony before Congress, in which he said he was working for an unnamed cybersecurity expert. Also, Perkins Coie internal billing records, which Durham has, shows that Sussman billed the hours he spent on Alpha Bank probe to the Hillary Clinton 2016 campaign. So here's the takeaway. The facts seem to show that Sussman was intentionally provoking the Russian probe on behalf of the former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton and then lied to obscure it. This was 5 years ago, everybody. Half a decade ago. So you want to know what the big takeaway is here? Nothing. We've known about this for 4 years. We knew that they concocted this using a Fusion GPS memo with Christopher Steele, who even testified in British court. This whole thing was concocted and made up. And Perkins Coie was the law firm who represented the DNC on issues related to Russia's 2016 hacking of its server. Perkins Coie, on behalf of the Clinton campaign and DNC, retained Fusion GPS, and the research firm eventually hired Christopher Steele, the former British intelligence operative who went on to write the dossier about the alleged links between Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin, which then ended up giving us the Mueller investigation, of which gave Democrats control of the House of Representatives in 2018, imprisoned
many Trump supporters and almost imprisoned Roger Stone, almost imprisoned Paul Manafort, but he was imprisoned briefly and then got off. George Papadopoulos, who was the link between the Five Eyes spying network. And I know a lot of younger listeners right now are not exactly, not that they don't know as much, but they just might not have been in politics 5 years ago. Or some of you might not have been in politics 5 years ago. Here's what happened, is that it became very clear that Trump might become president. So Hillary Clinton needed to launch some sort of a foreign interference narrative. So she made it up. No different than writing playwrights or no different than trying to concoct things out of thin air. She came up with the idea of, hey, why don't we create a narrative that Donald Trump is owned by Vladimir Putin? And this was a perfect narrative to try to create because Hillary Clinton and the Democrats were then able to pander to the war hawks who want to be light on China, light on the Middle East, but they hate Russia for whatever reason. We're not exactly sure. But the saber rattling towards Russia is a very profitable position to take in Washington, D.C. A lot of politicians take it for a reason. They say, oh, it's because Vladimir Putin is a thug. He's terrible. He's all this. Again, I'm actually not a pro-Russian guy. I think Vladimir Putin is a thug. I think he's a gangster. Do I think that Vladimir Putin is an existential threat to American existence? No. Do I think that Russia is something that should keep us up at night? Russia's annoying. We on this program equate Russia to a mosquito. It could be carrying a virus, but you just kind of squash it and kill it. Meanwhile, we have a predator drone called China. Mosquito, predator drone. Mosquito, predator drone. And so Hillary Clinton was able to artificially create an entire story with her money, the Clinton campaign's money, through Perkins Coie. Now, if they do indict the Sussman guy, let me just tell you, he's not going to serve a considerable prison sentence if he serves a prison sentence at all. He's going to have the best attorneys in the world, and his attorneys, honestly, are probably going to be able to argue this one away. They'll say, no, he wasn't making this up to FBI officials. See, the problem is this. It's not a problem. It's actually a good thing for our system. But the problem for those of us that want to see justice, not social justice, not racial justice, not environmental justice, but justice as it known in the Socratic and Platonic and Aristotelian sense, the classical sense, the sense that built our entire civilization, giving a man what he is due. So yes, when you architect an entire spy operation against an incoming candidate, what is you do? You're due jail time is what you're due the sacrificing of your freedoms temporarily. And so what Hillary was able to do through her campaign, through all of the people involved, and by the way, you know who else was involved? We don't have evidence that he was directly involved, but he was definitely aware of all this. Ron Klain, who is the chief of staff to the Biden White House. Do you know how I know Ron Klain and Hillary Clinton are close? Time magazine just published the 100 most influential people. You know who wrote his essay? Hillary Clinton. They're all in on it. It's this cabal of seemingly unimpressive people that know how to navigate the bureaucracy, and they are willing to do things that are extraordinarily evil in preservation of their own regime, their own power, and their own wealth. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the new Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is what's crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on Giza sheets, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike is making a special offer for my listeners. You'll receive two for the one low price plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Square and use promo code Kirk. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 1-800-875-0425. Use the promo code Kirk. Go to MyPillow.com and make sure you use the promo code KIRK. And so what I was getting at, and I kind of interrupted myself, it's kind of funny how one interrupts oneself, is that Sussman, there's a criminal statute here. So the government would indict Sussman and have to prove in court that he willingly and knowingly lied. Not that he had bad information, but he lied to the federal agent with the intent to try to deceive them towards the idea that Trump had ties to this Russia bank, Alpha Bank, saying they were trying to use a secret server to communicate. And Sussman, his defense will probably be, yeah, I heard it from somebody on this credible information, and I was later corrected. Of course, we know he was lying, obviously, but that intent threshold is going to be difficult to reach. So then, all of a sudden, because of this entire faulty narrative, Donald Trump fires James Comey, which set Washington, D.C. ablaze. Now, I push back against people because some people say, Charlie, he should have drained the swamp. How often have we heard that? What happened when Trump fired Comey? That's draining the swamp, isn't it? Immediately, Republicans and Democrats unified together and they launched a special investigator and a special probe. And that did handcuff the Trump administration and Trump presidency for at least 2.5 years. So then came Bob Mueller and his all-star team of angry Democrats, including Andrew Weissman. What started the Mueller investigation? The whole thing was Fusion GPS, was the Clinton campaign. Now, people forget this entire back and forth, by the way. People forget this testimony. And Bob Mueller says he's not even familiar with Fusion GPS, the reason his entire investigation existed in the first place. You didn't even look into it. He's not even familiar with it. Play cut 94.
When you talk about the firm that produced the Steele reporting, the name of the firm that produced that was Fusion GPS. Is that correct?
I'm not familiar with that.
Let me just help you. It's not a trick question. Right? It was Fusion GPS.
It's not a trick question. So Perkins Coie worked with Fusion GPS and retained them. And Bob Mueller, who was tasked with investigating all of this, says, I'm not familiar with that. Why would I be? Bob Mueller admitting under oath that it was just all about destroying Donald Trump, not even looking into the origins of this. So John Durham, who was put in place by Bill Barr to look into this, it has been 5 years since the incident happened, 5 years since our intelligence apparatus colluded with foreign intelligence services and an opposing presidential campaign to create a triangulation chokehold against a candidate they don't like because he presented an existential risk to their cabal. And what did Chuck Schumer say in January of 2017? You better be very careful, Mr. President. The intelligence agencies, they got 9 ways to Sunday to come after you. He says that to Rachel Maddow. And what was Rachel Maddow wearing? What she wears every night, a black blouse. And he's got his glasses right on his nose, staring like a good New York mob boss. What do you want? Antonio, he's with the fishies. He was a good guy, but not anymore. Justice is what we are owed. Not a slap on the wrist for Sussman of some procedural crime where he'll be able to plea and get community service. What happened to that other lawyer, by the way? Remember, Connor, last summer, that lawyer that got indicted? FBI lawyer attorney? We're going to see what Durham produces, but don't hold your breath. Justice, which is what we are owed, justice in the American sense, is not what we're going to get. That's right. Ex-FBI lawyer spared prison for altering Trump-Russia probe email. Meanwhile, if you go into the U.S. Capitol building and take a selfie, solitary confinement. Gitmo for you. When's the last time you think you had American meat? Chances are it's been way too long. Did you know that over 80% of the grass-fed beef sold in the United States is imported from overseas? My friends, the Good Ranchers, have traveled the country on a mission to help the American family by working together with local farms and ranches, shipping straight to your doctor. GoodRanchers.com delivers American craft beef better than organic chicken. Look, most of your beef is from overseas, and they lie to you about it. The way they label it, it's deceiving. You need meat straight from America. Look, when we use Good Ranchers, there's a box that it delivers to us. And I'm telling you, we fight over it. Producer Connor, he has barbecues like you wouldn't believe. In fact, we have to keep on telling Good Ranchers, send us more meat. Why? Well, it's because it is the good stuff. So go to GoodRanchers.com to buy now or subscribe today and save 20% on each box of mouth-watering meats. Go to GoodRanchers.com/Charlie or use code Charlie at checkout. That's $20 off and free. That's GoodRanchers.com/Charlie. Know where your meat comes from with GoodRanchers.com. Like all things, there are phenomenal doctors and phenomenal hospitals, and doctors have been saving people's lives for my entire life. And there's also a question, though, of what if there are not so, what if there are some hospitals that need to step up their game and some doctors that need to step up their game? Well, there's a new Physicians Alliance that has been launched that says that hospitals, this is their words, are killing people. Doctors are being hamstrung by regulators, leading to hundreds of thousands of excess and unnecessary deaths. I can tell you, I know somebody that was in Las Vegas. He was an athlete, late 40s, early 50s, and he got COVID and freaked out and went to the hospital, and he was in good shape, and he died. Now, is it because of the hospital or because of COVID? We don't know. But there's other stories here that are published on this story that are quite interesting, and I'm not telling you what to do. I just think that it's important, though, because we need to ask ourselves the question, are we doing the best job we possibly can in these hospitals? Because as soon as you check yourself into a hospital, they're in control. Other treatments might not be available to you, and you might not be able to get drugs available or get treatments available that might be helpful. The article reads, stories are piling up about people who received no treatment until it was too late. They were given the wrong treatment. They were placed on a ventilator and given remdesivir, a controversial drug known with harsh side effects, including potential kidney failure. Some people say that they are abandoned when in the hospital. And some hospitals do not have the manpower or the ability to be able to care for every single person that comes in. The coalition continues by saying, as they're trying to reform the hospital system, is they are trying to say that whether it's Dr. Zelenko, Dr. Fleming, Dr. Peter McCullough, that there might be other options available other than just doing exactly what they want to do, go on a ventilator and take remdesivir. Dr. Robert Malone, who was one of the founders of the mRNA vaccine, of course, he's been whitewashed by the media. No one wants to talk about him. Says, we have a crisis of death and disease here because of this blind insistence on only doing the vaccine, a crisis of death and disease for both the vaccinated and unvaccinated that was completely unnecessary. It's unprecedented when in history, have we sent people home and not treated them? It makes no sense at all. He says there's no underlying logic to it other than this drive to vaccinate everyone. It's in the United States where we have this unique vaccine exclusive strategy. It's unprecedented, and it's costing hundreds of thousands of lives. Cole, Dr. Cole, says we don't have a pandemic of the unvaccinated. We have a pandemic of under-treatment and under early treatment. I think that is a brilliant take. Let me say this again. We do not have a pandemic of the unvaccinated. We have a pandemic of under treatment and under early treatment. I can tell you someone right here in our own circle contracted COVID and threw the kitchen sink at it, Rogan style, ivermectin, Z-Pak, and is doing fine. I'm not saying that works for everybody, okay? Nor am I one to say that applies. I avoid absolutes with these things. I believe in medical choice. Just understand that people can be abandoned in hospitals, and they might not be doing everything that you might think they're doing. And consult a physician that you trust that is willing to read all the data available. We have never said the Chinese coronavirus is not serious. We've never said that this biological attack from China is not serious. I've been against lockdowns from day one, obviously, because I believe lockdowns actually hurt more than they help. But I've never said it's not serious. Instead, I think that early and aggressive intervention and also treatment, which is why we got a lot of backlash for this. We're one of the few shows to actually do a segment about obesity, about diet, not eating processed foods, adjusting your lifestyle to all of a sudden be ready in case a biological weapon comes against you. It can tear you up. Tomorrow marks the 550th day of 15 days to slow the spread. The question is, why is the government making this so hard? Adjust your lifestyle, early intervention, know if there's other therapeutics available. That does beg the question, why has the government made this so hard? Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, you can do so at charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.